Thanks so much, Katya. It's really nice. Matt and I read together a few years ago. We had a great time. So it's a real delight to have a chance to do that again. I don't know if I'm confident enough to say that I can offer you, along with him, some beautiful crafted cedar cabins with maybe some river rock in the middle in the fireplace, and some maybe a shelf of nothing less than $40-$50 Merlot, something like that. But I guess at the very least, anybody who writes can hope to offer a few reasonably accurate directions to some place like that. I will oblige and read this poem about a deer. Probably a lot of you know that in the middle of Vancouver there's a park called Stanley Park. Well, in the middle of this park there's a herd of wild deer. And if you can find your way to the more obscure depths of Stanley Park, you might catch a glimpse of a couple. I have. Some people say that these deer are the result of deer that intermittently escaped from the old Stanley Park Zoo down through the decades. But other people say that these deer are really the descendants of deer that used to come down from the north shore of Vancouver, which is where I live, and then swim across the inlet, Burrard Inlet, make it to the downtown shore, and then find their way to Stanley Park. And this poem is about a deer that I encountered once, halfway down that mountain slope, at least in my imagination, on its way to the downtown area and Stanley Park. It's called A Memory of a Deer. It had come down into the city out of the mountains in the night and gotten lost. Had sensed the dawn, heard car noises at the corner, heard the police station and hospital across the street, and, bewildered, come into this silence and deeper dark within the still dark morning to hide. Now I, a human, had approached it, and the deer stood there like a child caught doing something wrong. Once I was told that years ago in summer, deer would come down out of the humming mountains through the night and keep going, swimming the mile-wide inlet from North Van to downtown. The city wharves would stop them, and they would struggle for hours, trying and trying to get ashore. In the morning, men would drag up the exhausted or dead deer like fish into the nets of their arms. And once, desperate and dazed, I entered those cold, dark waters, held on to a broken old wharf that sat there near the foot of Lonsdale Avenue, then pushed myself into the inlet with the intention of swimming out farther than I could swim back, but came back with no idea why, with no need to know why, only my own weeping and laughing. It must have been the memory of that underground parking lot deer already coming to life in me that took me down to the water that night and made me swim out and also made me turn around. Then the memory must have been just a pinpoint hidden in my body, but a light which would begin to burn and lead me without my knowing it through time to another night and to where the deer stood in the dark. So the light could become the deer, and the deer a vision of the deer, its strong, delicate-looking head and neck as it swims across the water, its forelegs, flexed haunches, and hind legs as it lifts itself onto a wharf and begins its run through the city to a forest and a secret herd. A few years ago, I had a small building maintenance and landscaping business. I used to hire people that work with me and for me. And this is about one of them. It's called The Man Who Sleeps in Cemeteries. Refuse recyclable paper yard bags. Refuse gloves. Collect yard trimmings the way you know how. I'll do likewise. My friend, don't hurt your head. Afternoons slide down the avenue. At every intersection, karate kick crosswalk buttons. Show up mornings, a very macho character, a little threatening. Show up fawning, a little flirtatious. Talking religion, bitches. Going on about your lady in the mirror, lipsticked. Gang boy in Colombia, gang man. You left that life. Yes, they found you in Miami. They killed your wife, your two kids. They threw you off a balcony. Now lay down your head. With strands of yourself off in the trees, running quiet and clear in the quick creek water. With your arms wrapped around surgical scars, with your collection of scars. Miami to Vancouver? I think I walked. Lay down your English. Por favor. Scowl and explain to me in Spanish that you don't speak Spanish anymore. Or Portuguese. Or the Quebec French that jumps out of you. Explain to me that North Vancouver has the most beautiful cemetery you've ever slept in. No landlords, no need to pull a knife. With different parts of your head in proper places, explain it. With your jumble of words, lay down your head. With your jumble of words, with your single joint per day and the pain gone out of your head, let the sections of your head click into a proper machined fit. Yes, killed so many times, scattered in so many places you can't say. Say aloud, fuck you, in the direction of your every past boss. Say it at your every refugee board hearing, at your every income assistance interview. Consult the cemetery's visiting bear, coyote, and deer. Consult the community of the dead flowing in unison beneath your head. Then make your many decisions and rule the parts of your head. My friend, my co-worker, here's a coffee, a set of garden tools, and plastic yard bag. Come do your expert work. Whistle all day the songs that came to you in the night through the clean, cold dirt. Here's a poem that's set in the days when almost all of the population smoked cigarettes. You have to imagine for a sec a single mother in her early to mid-20s with four kids, all boys. It's called My Mother and the Rain. Early in the morning, she wakes the four of us and marches us into the kitchen. While we rub sleep out of our eyes, our pajamas awry, our hair sticking out. The two middle ones on the verge of quiet laughter, bewildered and canny and secretive all at the same time. The youngest, alert, transparent, taking everything in. Wait, she tells us. Unlocks the back door and leads us out onto the porch, along the house wall over the overhang, where she sits us down together in a row, drapes a big blanket over us, and nestles in. Little looks go back and forth between us. Is she what's called crazy? Is this a dream we're all having? Listen, she says. The rain's falling wildly, roaring down the pipes that drain the eaves troughs, tap dancing on the porch, spraying out everywhere like happily splashing-sounding stars. Out at the edge of the tree-filled backyard, the rain's hushing itself, filling the trees, making the tree branches heavier and heavier, making them rise as if to embrace the rain. And rain mist is whispering in the grass. Polished steel rain hoops are spinning and ringing down the back steps, off into the air and into the grass. and unfamiliar, ever metamorphosing, bright musical instruments made of rain are appearing and appearing, while mysterious, half-visible, half-human-sized musicians, ghost-like, glowing, and made of mist, play the instruments. Is what we hear and see what she has meant us to hear and see? All she says is listen. Later, out in the day, we'll be at a bus stop. Those middle two standing alongside me now next to a post, their 4 and 5 year olds awed, about to become grins on their faces, the youngest on the bench with her, spilling out of her lap. Make the bus come, Mom. She lights a cigarette. 30 seconds later, like magic, the bus comes lumbering up. My brother's grinning outright, and my mother's greenish eyes shining, the rain falling into the green backyard. Me and my brother's looking up at her, laughing, and though we don't know it, beginning the lives we'll have, whatever happens, listening to the same rain.